We live in what has been called a time-starved society. In the end, though, we have time for the things that we really want to do. It's a question not really of how much time we have, but what are our priorities?
You know, I'm one of those strange people that likes the word priorities. I have a wife who makes lists of the things she wants and needs to get done, and I don't do that so much. If I did, I think it would help me be better at prioritizing. The tyranny of the urgent, the frustration at the end of the day when so little was accomplished, sometimes we need help, don't we? And that's what we've been trying to provide, in a way, here on Come Receive the Light during this Lenten series of broadcasts, talking 2 weeks ago about fasting, then last week about praying, and now this week about giving to others.
Almsgiving, works of mercy, means to give to others not what I have, but what I am. Not just to give them my money or bits of it, but to share myself with others.
Oh, this is going to be another great conversation. Welcome to our weekly visit we call Come Receive the Light, coming to you from our studios in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, home of the Orthodox Christian Network. I'm Mike Trout, and our host each week is Father Christopher Metropoulos. We are into the third week of Lent, and that means we'll be listening to another visit with Bishop Callistos Ware, and we have one more conversation with Bishop Ware next week. You won't want to miss that. If you have missed any of the previous interviews, take a little time, visit our website, click on the Listen button there on the homepage, and go to our Come Receive the Light or CRTL archives. You can stream any of our programs or download them to listen later. The website is myocn.net. That's myocn.net. Speaking of listening to things you may have missed, and I don't want to get too far off track, but Father Chris has returned from the Holy Land pilgrimage he took with 50 other pilgrims, and we have been taking a virtual tour on our website with them. There are many contributions you can view, read, or listen to on the website, giving you a front row seat with the tour group. You'll want to check that out. The link is right there on our homepage at myocn.net.
There are so many ways we can integrate these beautiful services into the home and to really tell children what to expect when they're going to church, to prepare them to be engaged in the service and to help them afterwards debrief.
Well, Melissa Sangranis is our first guest on today's program. She's from the Greek Orthodox Archdiocese Center for Family Care. She's back with us. This is a monthly visit with a guest from the center. And Father Chris is going to ask her about ways we can all make Lent more meaningful for our families at home.
Well, I think this is an important thing for us to be thinking about is Lent in our homes. And what we have to do first is to recognize that during this period, we're really called to draw closer to God. This kind of needs to start as a conversation first with the adults in the family and then with the children as what we as a family can do to grow closer to Christ as a family and as individuals and feel his presence more in our home during this time. And, you know, as we're approaching the third Sunday of Lent, you know, if you have, as a family, haven't done this yet, you can still do this. You can still sit down as a family and say, what can we do to bring ourselves closer and more into the presence of Christ during this period? So that's important to keep that in mind. And there are a variety of different things to do, and certainly what's appropriate for one family may not be appropriate for another. So a good spiritual guide can really be good help if your family isn't sure where to start. But we know during Lent that the church offers daily readings from the Old Testament books, Genesis, Isaiah, and Proverbs. Sometimes these readings might be a little challenging for younger children to engage in, but certainly that is a place to start. But we also have saints each day that the church commemorates who can be good examples of how we should be acting during this Lenten period, how we should be growing closer to Christ as these saints grew closer to Christ. And, you know, all of the children everywhere know that this past Monday was March 17th, was St. Patrick's Day.
Right.
You know, they hear about them in school, they talk about all this stuff, but do they actually know that, you know, one of the things about St. Patrick was that he prayed 100 times a day?
Mm.
You know, can we honor St. Patrick by trying to pray more each day? You know, do our children know that also on that day we celebrated St. Alexios, as among other saints? So trying to be aware of that calendar, and you know, you can find the calendar on goarch.org, which will tell you who the saints of the day are. It will also tell you what the readings are. But just looking at those and seeing ways that you can invite your children into learning about some of the different saints or learning a little bit about the readings that are being read that day can really be a practical way to do it. I think that also looking at the Sundays of Lent, you know, as book ends to our week, the Sunday, you know, we're holding up, you know, the exaltation of the Holy Cross to strengthen us in our journey. And then the following Sunday, we look to St. John Climacus of the Ladder, which can be fun to explore with children, the idea of the ladder to Christ, you know, connecting us to heaven, and fully looking at what these Sundays have to teach us and trying to integrate these teaching into our weekly life can be a simple way to help us live out our liturgical calendar in our week. And a great resource for these Sundays is our office actually produces family gospel lessons, which you can find on our website, family.goarch.org, which would help give you activities to do.
All right. And then let me ask you this as a follow-up. I mean, you, we talk about the services, and some kids, some families see it as punishment. You know, we're there, and we're sitting there, and we're getting tired. The kids are getting fidgety. It's end of the day. How do we deal with that?
You know, that's hard, and I have to be honest. This is something I get really excited about, the idea of worshiping as a family, and I think it's something that we all need to work on, because sometimes I think we rush into these services thinking it's something we have to do, and we don't prepare enough to go to these services. And before I fully answer that, I want to share this beautiful quote by Father Schmemann from his book Great Lent, which if you haven't read that book, get it. It's just so rich and helps you understand your Lenten journey so much better. But he says, "Let us stress once more that the purpose of Lent is not to force on us a few formal obligations, but to soften our hearts so that it may open itself to the realities of the Spirit, to experience the hidden thirst and hunger for communion with God. We understand that it is simply impossible to pass from our normal state of mind, made up almost entirely of fuss, rush, and care, into this new one without first quieting down, without restoring ourselves a measure of inner stability. This is why those who think of church services only in terms of obligations, who always inquire about the required minimum, can never understand the true nature of worship, which is to take us into a different world, that of God's presence." So when we consider that quote and really think about what we need to do as a family, we don't need to rush home from, you know, work and feed the kids and run
right,
the liturgy, you know, because we need to do it. But what we need to do is try to quiet down and decide what we're doing as a family, but not just to go to the service, but to be living them,
right,
and to teach our children about the service and to teach ourselves about the service. There are so many ways we can integrate these beautiful services into the home to get them involved and to really tell children what to expect when they're going to church, to prepare them. You know, tonight we're going to go to church as a family, to prepare them to be engaged in the service, to help them afterwards debrief.
Yeah, those are great ideas for it. And, you know, many of us, we know about almsgiving, and we know about prayer, and we know about fasting during the period of Great Lent. Many of us try to donate a little more of the time and money to helping others during Great Lent. But we don't have to do this only for strangers, do we? I mean, we can do it for our families as well.
Absolutely, Father. And this is so important because we often think, you know, we got to love our neighbor, you know, as ourselves, but the closest person to us is our neighbor in our home, is our family members and stuff. And we so often don't give to one another. We often think that giving has to do with money or somebody in great need outside of our house. But really taking time to do things for people we spend the most time with is certainly a worthy challenge for this fast. And I think it can, especially for children, you can really have fun with this, mm-hmm. trying to do acts of kindness for one another, perhaps randomly. The spirit of almsgiving really begins at home and then extends out to other family members. And you can really look not just at your family members in the home, but also, you know, family members outside of your home, grandparents, also church family members. Who do we need to extend kindness to during this period? Who might be feeling alone? So looking at our family and extending the definition of family to our church family as well and our extended family and extending that kindness. But looking at simple things we can do day to day, that's really critical.
Melissa, it's always a great pleasure to have you on the program. Melissa Tsogranis is from the Greek Orthodox Center for Family Care. Melissa, please give us your email address again so people can go there for resources, because I know you've got a lot to offer.
Our website is family.goarch.org, and our email is familycare@goarch.org. And we would love to hear from you all. We'd also like to let you all know we're doing a webinar next week on Holy Week as a family, observing Holy Week as a family.
Excellent.
So it should be really great. We're just going to have a lot of dialogue, and we invite everyone to join us.
Excellent. Thanks so much, Melissa.
Thank you, Father.
Again, that was Melissa Tsogranis from the Greek Orthodox Archdiocese Center for Family Care. And she mentioned a number of things I want to go over again with you, just in case you missed them. First, the website link is family.goarch.org. The email is familycare@goarch.org. Details about the webinar she mentioned will be on our website at myocn.net. You want to check that right away so you don't miss the date. And she also recommended several resources, and rather than read them off again, we do have them on the CRTL Come Receive the Light page of our website. And remember that these books can also be ordered through our online web store, which can be linked to through our homepage. It's another way we can make high-quality resources available to you, and it's a way you can support this nonprofit ministry. Anything you purchase through our web store generates a donation back to OCN. And again, our website is myocn.net. That's myocn.net. Well, His Excellency, the Most Reverend Metropolitan Callistos Ware, is an English bishop within the Eastern Orthodox Church under the Ecumenical Patriarchate of Constantinople and one of the best-known contemporary Eastern Orthodox theologians alive today. It's been our privilege to have him speak with Father Chris about four different emphases during Great Lent, and this week it's almsgiving.
I've read the word alms used in Scripture can actually be translated as mercy. So almsgiving is actually a giving of mercy. Is that true?
That is correct, on my understanding. The Greek word for mercy in Greek is eleos, and the word for almsgiving is eleemosyne. So one can see there's the same root there, E-L-E-O-S, eleos, underlying both words. So we could, instead of saying almsgiving, say acts of mercy. There's another connection. Sometimes the Greek fathers link the word eleos, meaning mercy, with the word eleon, E-L-A-I-O-N, meaning olive oil. Now, that, I think, is bad etymology, but it's good theology, because exactly eleos, mercy, means the love of God poured out like oil to heal. Oil in the ancient world was an instrument of healing. The Good Samaritan, when he found the man who'd been beaten up by thieves, bound up his wounds, we are told, and poured in oil, because oil was seen as a healing agent in the ancient world. So, yes, eleos, mercy, which is what lies behind the word of almsgiving, has as its basic idea the love of God healing us. And so when we practice almsgiving, what that means in the deep sense is not just giving a bit of money, but it means sharing God's mercy with other people in such a way as to heal them.
Mm-hmm. We are all extremely busy, and some people think that they really have absolutely no time left, that we can barely keep up with our responsibilities. So how do you feel we can find time and energy for volunteering at a soup kitchen or visiting the shut-ins?
This is a real problem. As you've just said, we live in what has been called a time-starved society. I'm not sure what has gone wrong. After all, we today have many labor-saving gadgets which earlier ages didn't have. It took them much longer, for example, to clean their house when they didn't have hoovers. But somehow, though we have all these labor-saving devices, we seem to be short of time in a way that people weren't in earlier ages. In the end, though, we have time for the things that we really want to do. It's a question not really of how much time we have, but what are our priorities? There, I think, lies the difference between our society today and earlier periods. In earlier periods, life was simpler. They did not have so many luxuries. They did not have so many distractions. Mm-hmm. We have filled our life with all kinds of things that people did not have in earlier times. So, yes, we need to simplify our life, and we need to ask ourselves, what is it that really matters? To what should I give priority? And perhaps our life has become too full of things, of objects, and we ought to have more time for persons.
In reviewing some of the information for our talk today, our interview today, the issue came up, this is another issue that did come up, that the reason people don't donate more, both in terms of their time and their money, is that once you start to think about suffering in the world, it can feel overwhelming. Why is it so important that we open ourselves up to that suffering rather than hiding it or pretending that it doesn't exist?
The suffering in this world is very great. That is certainly true. And sometimes confronted with the severity of suffering, we feel, what can we do? We feel helpless. And that makes us do nothing at all. Here, it's a good thing to remember the proverb, it is better to light a candle than to curse the darkness. We can't solve all the problems of the world, all the world's anguish and distress. Mm-hmm. But we can do something. We can light a candle in some way. We can do some small acts of kindness which will bring light into the lives of others. So I cannot do everything, but that doesn't mean I should do nothing. Mm-hmm. in the face of the enormity of problems in the world, natural disasters and unjust political systems, and the suffering of the destitute and the homeless, I can at least do something to alter that. Mm-hmm. And if all of us, in one way or another, will do something, then changes will indeed begin to happen. So let us not feel helplessness or despair in the face of the world's sufferings. Let us not lead that to make us turn away. And yes, helping other people does mean making ourselves vulnerable, making ourselves uncomfortable. In some ways, it's easier to shut ourselves off, to live in our own narrow circle of activities, not care about the wider difficulties of the human beings around us. To try to help other people, to love them, is to make ourselves vulnerable. It does mean taking certain risks. But if we don't do that, we won't be real persons after the image and likeness of God.
Mm-hmm. In Your Excellency, when we look at the scriptures and the fathers, what is their key element there in almsgiving? I mean, is it about money or spending time connecting with the less fortunate? Is it about a contribution or a combination thereof?
Almsgiving, works of mercy, means to give to others not what I have, but what I am. Not just to give them my money or bits of it, but to share myself with others. So yes, almsgiving does indeed mean contributing money. In our modern society, it's not so easy to know when we see beggars in the street whether we should give to them or not. But on the whole, the Orthodox teaching is we should give. But it's perhaps important also to give to various charitable causes. And then we have a reasonable assurance that our money will be well used. Give money, and give enough for it to make a difference to ourselves. I recall what King David says in the scripture, I will not offer to the Lord that which costs me nothing. We should not offer almsgiving that costs us nothing. That's not something precious in the sight of God. We should give enough of our money to mind and to notice. Early Christians used to give one-tenth of their money each year, tithing. Some Christians today in Protestant circles do that. Some Orthodox do it. But to many people, if you speak of tithing, they say, I couldn't possibly give as much as that. Well, perhaps we can't give as much as one-tenth of our income. But let us give enough for it to involve a sacrifice. But yes, it is also to give time to others and to give them our attention, not just to turn our backs on them, to share something of our own life with them, not to shut ourselves off and merely to follow our own chosen program of life. Mm-hmm. So yes, the familiar tasks which we often speak, helping in a soup kitchen, visiting the sick, finding time to write letters to people, make a phone call to somebody who we know is lonely and passing through difficulties, All of this comes under the heading of almsgiving, works of mercy. Make time. That's an interesting phrase. Time is not the master. We can choose what we wish to do with our time, and we shouldn't think that we have no options. We do have possibilities of choice. It is, as I've said, a question of priorities.
You mentioned several quotes, and you quoted them. Are there any others that you feel are sort of favorite on almsgiving that you'd like to talk about?
Yes. First of all, I think of the sheep and the goats in the parable of Christ in Matthew chapter 25, where Christ says, at the last judgment, what you're going to be asked is, did you feed the hungry? Did you give drink to the thirsty? Did you take the stranger into your home? Did you visit the sick and those in prison? Now that's what we're going to be asked at the last judgment. Not did you preach fine sermons, not did you make many prostrations and spend a long, long time on your prayers, but what did you do to help other people in practical and specific ways? That's what we should be asked at the last judgment. And then I think of what Christ says in that parable of the sheep and the goats. Inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you did it to me. Let us think how Christ is looking at us through the eyes of all those around us who are in distress and in need. And then I would add two other short sayings. The first is from St. Paul, 2 Corinthians 9:7. God loves a cheerful giver. It's easy to give, and yet to make the other person to whom we give feel humiliated, somehow to make ourselves seem superior. It's easy to give, and to do so implying, this is very difficult for me. We should be cheerful, generous, eager when we give to others. The Lord loves a cheerful giver. And then I think also of a Latin proverb, bis dat qui cito dat. He gives twice who gives quickly. So if we see a need, let's respond at once to it. Not delay, not put it off.
Thank you, Excellency.
Bishop Callistos Ware has been our guest on today's edition of Come Receive the Light, the third installment in our four-part look at various ingredients in the celebration and observance of Great Lent. And we'll be back with part four next week. Bishop Ware will be talking about scripture memorization. I hope you can join us again. If you've missed any of these broadcasts, you can listen again when you go to our website at myocn.net. That's myocn.net. Just click on the listen button on the homepage and go to the CRTL or Come Receive the Light archives. I'm Mike Trout. Our host is Father Christopher Metropoulos. Thanks, as always, to our executive producer, Ann Dankert. And remember to always have faith in what you listen to.